For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Adjacent.
You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Hello.
There he is.
There you go. What up, Russ? How you feeling, man?
Can you hear? You hear us?
You got me?
Loud and clear, but you don't have us.
You don't hear us.
I hear y'all. You were talking to me like I was slow.
Because I said hello to you three times.
Nah, not Herb. Jason was like,
no, me.
You don't hear us. I'm like, yo.
Well, I was talking to you like you couldn't hear me.
I couldn't at first.
I was making up hand signals to kill
the hand signals is wild.
Well, what are you supposed to do?
The hand signals are wild. I get you, but no, you can't do that.
It's called sign language, look, Russ.
All right. No, it's all not. Right.
See, it's called unemployed.
Let's learn sign language then, and then we can have ways to communicate very effectively when we can't hear each other.
Sign language for idiots. That's the best we could do.
Well, I hear y'all now.
All right.
Oh, pantomiming is not sign language, though, Herb.
Sure it is. Listen, it's all about communication.
It was not even the hand motions. It was the fact he was trying to talk slow. Like, I'm like, bro, what are we doing?
That in fairness, that part didn't make sense. That's right.
I'm just like, yo, no,
I don't
get the hands. I can understand the hands. It was the
right.
Can you hear?
Yeah, right. It's our ignorance.
In hindsight, that made no sense at all. Because if I thought you couldn't hear me.
Yeah.
And what was I doing?
Just saying it slow and that voice not going to help me hear you.
That's how Americans do when we out of country. When we go somewhere
that's
and we
what
say
my dad
something,
did.
They like, what? You're like, where is McDonald's? Like, what? Like, I didn't say I was deaf. Or like why are you yelling? I don't know what you're saying.
Like, do you say your dad, like, I like the pasta?
When my dad and I went to Italy, he slipped into... And in every other country in the world, in my experience, I shouldn't say every country, not like I've been to that many, but the like 8 or 10 that I've been to where they don't speak English or where English is not the main language, they still speak English. Like, we're the only ones that don't know multiple languages as a culture. I know you're bilingual, Russ, but most of us don't bother learning other languages here. In the rest of the world, they speak their language and they learn English and they probably learn Spanish and they learn French so that they can communicate across different cultures. So when we went to Italy, most of the people there that we ran into spoke some English, spoke enough English for us to get around without having to learn any Italian, for example. But a day or two in, my dad slipped into talking, speaking in English to them the way he was hearing their English. So my dad was speaking to them in broken English, thinking that would help. And he thinks he's speaking in kind of an Italian style or Italian sounding broken English. But really, he just sounds like Borat. Really, we're just going up to places and he'd be like, I want the coffee for my son.
Italian
my
Borat.
Son like the coffee.
See, Herb would do this, so that's why he finds it so amusing.
Herb does this in his everyday life, but I do it in Spanglish. I call it Spanglish. Like, my friends, my partners, they know that, like, I speak fluent Spanglish. And I do it often. And I rarely even notice it unless I'm somewhere that is, like, predominantly, you know, Latinx. And I'm like, oh, I'm bugging. Like, I am bugging right now.
All right, give us an example, Herb. Please.
So it's a taco spot.
Wait, time out before you start. Do we have the same type?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean, Herb.
I know what you mean, but I don't know what you mean though. I know what you're talking about, but I don't. What's the type?
Zoe Saldana. You know,
keep going, Herb.
Right.
Keep
Zoe going, Saldana.
I was gonna say no. I was gonna say like a Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not too hip on these. I ain't too hip on the Hollywood name. So
you don't know who Salma Hayek is? Wait a minute.
I probably do. But I don't know
that's
her name.
Odd. No, I could almost understand. Sofia Vergara is a huge star, but I could kind of be like, okay, maybe if you don't watch a lot of TV, maybe if you didn't watch Modern Family, maybe there's a chance you don't know who that is. But Salma Hayek has been a movie star for my entire life.
Okay, so I'm sure I know her, but I don't know her name.
Like her, we're talking about the
LeBron Wild Wild West.
Jordan of baddies.
All right, just give me a second. I got the internets. Oh yeah, she's fine as hell. Absolutely, she's been fine.
Well, so we're not. That's not debating though.
That's
we're,
not. Yeah, that's not what I'm. I'm just shocked that you don't know. Like it's not like this
goes
this is
back
a new
to
star.
Will Smith fighting mechanical spiders in the Old West.
I don't know any Hollywood people's name. I always be like, you know that dude that played on what you call it?
What's my man's name?
That's her. Like that's me. I don't know none of these people's name. I've seen this lady 100 million times, and I'm a fan, but I didn't know her name.
Wow. All right.
That's how my wife is, and I weirdly always know exactly who she means. I know the names, and I can always fill in the blank.
Nah.
All right, Herb. Go ahead.
So it's a taco spot I like to go to. I call it Ramon's. That in itself may be ignorant because it may very well simply be Raymond's. But I call it Ramon's. It is on like Blue Island and Damon in Chicago. And they go, cheese, lettuce, tomato. Like, and so when I order, I also go. Let me get 3 steak tacos, cheese, lettuce, tomato.
My God.
But I also just do this stuff all the time. And so, like, I don't know. Like, I can't even think of, like, a word right now. But I'll just, like, I'm like, oh, El Bato. Like, I like the bat behind you. I doubt that's Spanish for bat. But El Bato.
Okay.
Yeah, it's bad. It's terrible. But here's the thing I wanted to say when we were talking about sign language versus like just doing stuff, right? Just versus nonverbals, right? It's all about communication, right? That's all that matters. Now, would I like to speak a particular language perfectly? Sure. But at the end of the day, what I need to be able to do is effectively communicate with the person or persons that I'm trying to communicate with. If I can do that, we have succeeded. So I don't know sign language, but I know point, facial expression, point back, thinking majiggy bob. Do you understand what I'm doing? Okay, cool. We communicated effectively. We are good.
I think that's wild, everything you just said. The one thing I do know that translates universally is smiles.
Yes.
Right? It's the one thing that helps, translates no matter what language you speak.
Yes.
If you smile, people are like, oh, okay. Like, I can understand that you're like not mad.
Right.
And that usually helps you get to whatever you need to get to.
But what if you don't know what they said? And it wasn't a smile thing. Like, what were they like?
You smile.
They like, hey,
you
just get the hell out of my way. And you like,
right.
I mean, that happens sometimes. Yeah, if somebody calls Herb idiota, and Herb just going,
no, I get that. I heard that. You know what I mean? I heard
that word sounds close enough. We know what that means, right?
Yeah. It's effective communication. The middle finger travels too.
I don't think you want to be mixing that into a conversation where you don't understand what's being said on the other side.
Agreed. But you can feel when somebody coming at you though. You can just feel when somebody is giving you
that's universal too.
Shady yeah. energy. Like, hold on, you. I think you're trying to treat me, and just you stole. You just flip a bird. Like,
I've been partially distracted by looking up Wild Wild West during this. Oh, did you guys watch that movie? What'd you say?
That was our old movie of the day.
Yeah. 1999 might be a little early for you. Did you know that movie?
I was around. Yeah.
Is that the Will Smith version? The Earth.
Yeah, it was like Will Smith when he had the single that was
wow.
a heater.
I can't believe this movie lost money. Maybe not lost money, but it's listed as as commercially unsuccessful because it didn't make very much money.
It flopped because it was terrible.
I can't believe very much that Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 16%. That part I believe. That sounds about right. But when you're a kid, you don't know. You're not sitting there like Roger Ebert critiquing these movies when you're a kid. You're like, give me Will Smith or Austin Powers, Mike Myers, or Jim Carrey doing anything and put in an attractive female lead that I recognize and
Sofia Vergara.
Throwing some jokes and some explosions and boom, that should win the Oscar for kids.
So you know what's crazy about
movie I've ever seen?
That was the model for like forever, and I think as time has gone on, my generation has been like, I don't give a fuck who these people are. You know, like think of how many Netflix movies. That's why Netflix loses money, because they do the old model where like let's just throw money at stars and put it on Netflix and the movie is unsuccessful because it's not good.
Well, they were fine doing that when they were the only one. Now there's 12. Now that doesn't work. You don't have to be good when you're the only one.
You just have to be the only one. And it's like because I think Kevin Hart has dropped like 8 movies. And I'm not like a Kevin Hart hater, like they're out there, but like Kev Hart has dropped like 8 movies on Netflix. And you know how many of them have been like successful?
Zero.
Oof. Zero. Yeah, I forgot audio platform. Zero have been successful. But you know, Kev,
your sign language helped. I figured it out.
They've all been successful because Kev's is like, oh shit, I got $100 million. Like, I'm cool.
Right. Correct.
If that's not success,
right. He's looking over his direct deposit and being like, oh, this was a success.
Yeah.
I think these digital like movie platforms like Netflix and whatnot, I think it's a little bit different for them though, because like once you get the click, it don't matter, right? Like, is there a certain, do I got to watch it for 30 minutes, 45 minutes? Is there a threshold I need to cross before they like,
well, yeah,
that's a view and that's a view. Or like once I click on it, they good money.
I think it's interesting. I think you bring up an interesting point because it's like, it's not like the days where people would go to the movies and you could get the instant ROI of, okay, these people came and spent their dollar on this movie.
Right.
The theater gets a percentage, the studio gets a percentage, all that. Now with Netflix, it's just like people, I'm paying for the subscription.
Right.
I'm not necessarily paying for the movie, but also like, it's not like you're just, ooh, if I watch now, I'll subscribe to Netflix. Like you only see the movie because you subscribe. So that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Does that make you more apt to just click on it? Because it's like all inclusive. Like I already paid for, like when you own a resort somewhere, all inclusive, like, yeah, okay, sure. I'll try that thing I've never been interested in before in life. Like, but so you just see a name like, oh, it's a new Kevin Hart movie. Let me watch it. And then 5 minutes in, you're like, this is terrible. But they already got the view counting, right?
Yeah, but that makes sense. But all these places always report that they've lost money on these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Netflix as a business has been losing money for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, for like a while, like they've been losing money on because they've shelled out so much. It's like The Athletic, like they've threw out so much money to get people, and then didn't get the ROI the return, on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then your investors are like, "You,
what's up?
You invested $50 million.
Well, they kick back.
I have not gotten my shareholders' dividend. Like, what's going on? You know? So, I don't know. I think that's an interesting point. I hadn't necessarily thought of.
Hmm.
Well, like anything else, like it's better for us once there's competition, because you go from Netflix. I mean, it's now we have to pay for all these different things. The whole idea was this was going to be better than cable because you could just get Netflix for $10 a month. You didn't need to spend $100 a month on cable anymore. But now you have to get so many different streaming services to get what you want. You're spending close to that anyway, probably, especially if you're going with ad-free and premium versions and things like that. But Netflix didn't have to be good when they started out because they were the only ones. And now it's gotten much more competitive. HBO has always been there, but now it's a streaming option too that you can just get for like the same price Netflix is. And HBO makes good content, regardless of who's in it or regardless of what they're paying. So as there's competition between HBO, Disney, Peacock, Hulu, whatever, there's so many now.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Paramount now Plus.
Then you start to see, okay, the content has to be good, and the places with the better content are the ones that are going to win.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah.
I think word of mouth still wins. Like once somebody, sure. Once something gets hot and people are like, you've seen this, you've seen that. Like once you hear that two or three times, you're like, all right, I got to go see this. You know what I mean?
Oh, more than ever, because word of mouth includes social media now. Mm-hmm. That is word of mouth. And that is like word of mouth on steroids.
Cause that's like that creates FOMO now. Cause every time I open my phone, like this is all everybody's talking about, and now I feel left out just because I don't even know it. Like
right, like Tiger King.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking.
Bad boy.
That isn't good.
That wasn't good. I can't include that in the conversation because that's an exception. Cause we were all trapped in the house.
Yeah.
What else were we gonna do?
Right. We had to wait seven days for Last Dance to come out. So it was like, oh, what could I watch? Oh, this bullshit about this weirdo with these tigers.
Can't go out. Can't go to anyone's house. Nothing's on TV. All right, Tiger King, cue it up. We'll binge
that doc is so wild because you had that dude breaking the law. He was feeding tigers like Walmart ground beef.
He was feeding people stuff like that.
He was feeding tigers Walmart, but not even like high quality. It was just like, what were they about to throw out? All right, go buy that and we'll feed that to the tigers. Then you had he's like,
and I'm sure they'll never get angry and maul us,
right?
Then you had like his number one like Wrangler dude who was like his secret lover that had like no teeth. And then it was the wildest part of that thing that I don't think anybody talked about. Bro was like, I mean, I'm not gay, but shit. I'm like, yo, this is the wildest thing in the world. My man said, yeah, I mean, I'm not gay, but like, I need a place to stay.
You know?
The dog held me down. I'm like, oh my God.
I'm a homosexual is what I am.
I said, all right, bro, like, whatever floats your boat. Like,
there was like every person. Every person I saw on there with an injury of some kind, I'm thinking that I know where that came from. That's from
Shorty,
the Tigers.
Shorty that lost the arm.
Right. Any kind of scratch on your arm, your face. I'm like, oh, that's probably from tigers that are angry at being kept in cages and thrown expired Walmart chicken.
Right.
I mean, spam. So, this arm looks really good.
Does.
Yeah. Does. Sure.
It's prime rib.
Yeah. If all you've ever had is expired chicken, I might want to try an arm.
Imagine you are a 2-ton tiger.
Uh-huh.
You used to run around chasing gazelles, running around and roaming, and all of a sudden you're in the middle of Oklahoma eating spam and rotisserie chicken that's about to expire.
Beef jerky.
Jerky and bologna.
Yeah.
And Shorty comes in with the arm.
A fresh arm.
Like fresh arm,
live arm,
swinging.
Probably got sunscreen on. Arm's probably got sunscreen on. It looks like you just fried it up. Like
you like, oh man, like, I'm about
to. Smells like coconut. Mm.
I ain't had no arm in years.
I ain't caught nothing in years. They just keep throwing me.
They just keep throwing me.
I need to catch something.
Salami and capicola and all this shit. Here goes this arm. Oh yeah, And she walked in here like she's presenting it to me.
I have to.
Other tiger walks over. You guys make an arm?
Right.
Hey, they got arm over here?
Ooh.
I ain't had arm in years. Can I get some? So like that entire documentary, docuseries, whatever you want to call it, was complete insanity. And they got it off because we had nothing else to do. But the one thing that stood out to me always was my man saying, yo, I'm not gay, but like, bro, held me down.
Let's start
the show before we go too far down that path. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure with my co-host, Russ Dorsey. And we've got friend of the show, longtime friend of the show, collaborator.
Play cousin of the show.
Cousin of the show, Herb Howard from the Bigs.
What's happening, good people? What's happening?
What's going on, man?
Not much. Glad to be here with y'all, Russ. I love your backdrop. That's like...
Thank you, bro.
That's like top...
He's been putting a lot of work into it.
Yeah, that's like top tier backdrop for the digital space, media space that we live in now. That's I like it. You got the bat is raw. I want to hear the story about the bat.
Yeah.
I'm imagining that column is yours.
Yes, it is.
And then you got Sears Tower over the left shoulder. That's nasty, bro. That's hard.
Thank you, bro. I have been doing, like, I'm working for Yahoo now and do like lots of digital stuff. And then I work at MLB Network now too. So if I'm not in studio or at the ballpark, I do shows from here. And so it's like, well, I've been, you know, turning the office into a studio. And it's like, well, damn, pay all this damn money for this view. And I got the Sears Tower right there and it looks really good on TV. And then the bat, my old high school baseball coach owns Homewood Bats.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm like, I want to represent my man. So I went, bought a bat, got it hung up there. And then old story and then the sound panel. So yeah, man, I appreciate it.
That's hard, my brother.
It looks a lot better than your kitchen. Not that your kitchen looked bad, but this looks more TV ready.
Yeah, no, this is definitely for TV. I actually like the doing the pod from my kitchen, but this is way easier now because I had cords and shit everywhere. Yeah. Like I have this wheel for the Ethernet cord. Like it's like a 100-foot Ethernet cord because I needed to plug up because I wanted hardwired and it's way easier now and it's better for my home.
The bet looks like it's engraved.
Yes.
What does it say on it?
Russell Dorsey Maple Pro M13 model.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's hard, bro. I do got beef with the Sears Tower right now. Like, I don't know what the Willis folks are doing, but they are neglecting the antennas. The classic legendary.
I thought I was the only one, Herb.
They've been bugging. One of them has been like
one is shorter than the other.
One of them's been missing its top piece for better part of a year or more now. And now the other one, the top piece is still there, but the casing isn't around it. It's like it's looking real ghetto. Like y'all letting that thing go. And it's iconic. Like this is a national treasure.
So with her, like I'll see it at night. And I'm like, am I tripping or is one of them joints shorter than the other? And they used to be the same length.
Yeah, it used to be the same length. One is definitely short. It's missing its top link or whatever, and then the other one is missing the encasing on its top link. And I get it, the antennas probably don't serve any purpose anymore, but the aesthetic is mandatory. It is part of the city now. Y'all have to maintain it. That's why we never even acknowledged y'all name change in the first place.
Yeah, they're bullshitting.
That is a little egregious of a thing to leave unmaintained. It's a little different than, you know, someone in your mailbox or someone in your neighborhood has their mailbox crooked or something.
Right, right.
We're talking about the spires on top of the Sears Tower.
Come on now.
Yeah. Straighten that up.
That's not cool, man. I don't like that.
Yeah. What if put a prosthetic up there and make it look right? You know,
whatever. Yeah, then just paint it white.
Do whatever you need to do.
Paint a coffee can and stick it on top of there. Whatever it takes to just get that, you know, we're not going to be able to get that close to see it. It's fine.
It's like the single most like synonymous image of our city. Y'all cannot do that.
They're letting it fall into disrepair. You're right, man.
Bullshitting. But no, that's great point, Herb. Because I was just like, I've been looking for months. Like, I never noticed before. But this,
I think, Russ, you should start a class action lawsuit because it's part of your view. You pay for it. You should sue the Sears Tower.
Bro, without the Sears Tower there, my rent would be like $5.
A real spill.
Right.
Real spill.
At the other side, all you can see is the dumb lake. Big deal.
And some the bullshit where the Bears might play or not.
Oh, my God. They put on yesterday.
Yo, we're going to talk.
I don't even want to get into that. I really
the
don't.
The prayer can – all right, before you – no, nah, we're here now. They have okay. big dogs.
Well, not you have to fill people in what we're talking about because not everyone's gonna know.
Okay, go ahead.
You have to set the stage a little bit.
All right. So the Chicago Bears, you're listening to this on Friday where they've drafted Caleb Williams, number one overall, and from my lips to God's ears, drafted Roma Dunze with the number nine pick.
Okay.
The Bears, the Wednesday before the draft, day before the draft, mm-hmm. announced their plans for their new stadium on the lakefront in Chicago. They had the mayor there. They had Kevin Warren there. And
several aldermen, a couple state
reps. Yeah, a lot of city officials. And before everything got started, they had the pastor. I think he's the pastor of like Progressive, one of the churches here in the city.
Yeah, I want to say like Salem. Like, I think he's.
No, that's Meeks, though.
Yeah, but Meeks ain't the Meeks. Meeks is done. He stepped down, and I think that guy took over.
Oh man, see, Meeks used to be on this. I was talking to Tone because Tone called me. He was like, "Bro, did you see what happened today?" And bro was praying over the thing. One, weird because
there's a wide array of religious representation.
Right, like, I think that's wild. Two, this isn't church, bro. Like, this is a business meeting. Just present your plan and let's get out of here. And so he's praying. And then, like, he's praying for, Lord, we pray that the Bears can build this modern facility that is the best in the NFL, and we pray for wins and Super Bowls. Jason, were you there?
Yes,
yeah. You saw this in person?
And I was thrown off by a business meeting starting with a prayer. But I can even go with that. Okay, the Bears are a private company. I know there's public entities in this, the mayor's office, public money. There's politicians there and everything. But the Bears are a private company, and I'm a Christian. I like any. If we're gonna pray, that's great. I don't think your prayer should be. Prayer is not meant to be some time to talk to everybody else. It's meant to be a time to talk to God. And I don't know that I would use that as a time to test out some jokes. I don't know that I would use that as a time to kind of position God as like pro lakefront stadium. That was the part where it kind of started to become uncomfortable for me.
And it's just like, you think God, with everything that he got going on, is really worried
Come
about...
Come on, Bianco.
Yes, you think my God, with everything that he got going on, is really worried
Let me hit him with
about the Bears lakefront stadium and them winning Super Bowls? He's like, bro, I'm trying to deal with Ukraine and Russia. I'm trying to make sure everybody's okay in Palestine. And then you up here talking about we want to win Super Bowls? No, that's inappropriate. And
so inappropriate.
My man Kevin Warren looking like my dad with his hands up. Like, what are we doing here, man? No.
I don't know how Kevin Warren even maintained that level of focus throughout that prayer because, I'm always down if it's time to pray. Let's go holler at the man. Cool. That dude started playing in God's face so quickly that I came out of prayer like, what? Nah, God, not me. I'm out. Not this yeah. I'm not playing with you. Like you talking about, oh, and I hope we get Caleb Williams in the draft. And I hope that, hey, man,
bro,
hey.
That's nasty work.
That's not cool, bro. It's already a little borderline that you're even doing this here, right? So, like, if we had a dinner or something, cool. But I'm like you too, Jason. If we can do it, no problem. I'm not tripping that you praying. But if you're going to start playing in God's face, though.
Definitely playing in God's face.
Come on.
I'd have been cool with a real prayer of, you know, God, your will be done here.
Sure.
If you want us in the lakefront, okay. If you want us on the south side, okay. You know, whatever you want. Because what if God's pro Arlington Heights for the stadium?
Right.
Right. We should ask. God's pro
if we're gonna, yeah, if we're going to bring him into this, we should ask.
God's like, I actually prefer the burbs. I think it makes more sense for y'all, but y'all know better. It was
unusual. It was unusual.
Wild. Lawrence went off on the radio as he should have. Herb, that's the perfect description. They were definitely playing in God's face.
Playing in God's face for no reason. Like, I knew Lawrence was mad though, so because I heard Lawrence the day before, and he was like, "I don't think it's a good idea for Mayor Johnson to even go to this thing. He like, you can send a letter and support and say, you know, if it come to it, we got y'all, whatever. But you don't need to be there. So as soon as I saw him there, and I knew he would be, I just thought of Lawrence. And then when the pastor started this thing that he did, I just went to message Lauren. I'm like, Lauren, they are in here wilding. Like, they are in here fronting. Because he was like, I am mad. I'm like, I know.
Tone called me. He said, did you see Lawrence go off? I said, no, but I saw the video and he had the mad face on. And so I knew he went off. Oh, my gosh, Jason.
It does not make us look good. That's just kind of, I thought it was awkward. It was kind of embarrassing.
10 years from now, if the Bears either have no stadium, Caleb Williams is garbage. We'll come back and we'll be like, see what happened when you play in God's face?
This is what happens, man.
Sports Adjacent is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA, take advantage of their Earth Month sale. And using our link, they'll add a little discount for you. You can also use promo code sports, either one. If you use our link, they put it in automatically at checkout. So you can take advantage of a great sale there, get the sheet set, and then you also get a little extra discount just by being one of our listeners and going there at sheetsgiggles.com/SA. Sports Jason is also brought to you by BetMGM. You can go to betmgm.com or download the BetMGM app and get this offer with our promo code adjacent1000. Your first bet with BetMGM gets paid back in free future betting credits up to $1,500 if you don't win. Use promo code adjacent1000. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I wanted to ask you if one of my behaviors is weird, Russ.
Okay.
I feel like this is the place I come to check things like this. And by the way, we addressed a couple weeks ago, I have developed this bad habit or behavior of, if you remember back to school, Russ, when the teacher would pass out papers, they'll lick their fingers first to get a little bit of a grip on it.
A little grip.
And I want to report, progress that I have stopped. I have been much more attentive to this and stopped doing it. The only times I have done it lately have been when I've just been very frustrated and in a hurry and very angry thumb lick. Yeah, right. I've mostly stopped doing this. Yes.
Okay.
But I do have this thing, and I just did this with Herb, where if I get something at the grocery store that is good, then I'm like, oh, I'm going to get this for someone. So I had these chips that I got from Trader Joe's. They're really good. And I'm like, oh man, next time I get these, I'm getting an extra bag for Herb. And I'm like, you got to try this. I have this thing where it's like, I need someone else to experience this. Even if he hated them, even if he came back and he's like, these are disgusting, I fed them to my dog or something. At least then we have this common experience. Is that an old person behavior, and is it weird?
Of all your unique quirks, I don't think that one's weird. Like, I think not checking your text messages and emails is more weird than what you just described. I think wanting somebody. Well, I have something for you because
I got 28 unread texts right now.
That's not as bad as it has been in years past.
Yeah, that's on the lower end. And I've got 594 unread emails. I mean, I probably read them. Most of them, you can tell what it is.
I just don't like the little bubble being there. Like,
I have six unlistened to voicemails.
So you should probably listen to those.
The oldest of which being April 6th of 2023.
What if What if they were urgent? Because like the people who leave voicemails probably need you. That's what I'm saying, Herb.
Hopefully that person is still amongst us.
True.
Jason, true. I need you to bring me my EpiPen.
Flatline.
Whoops.
That's wild.
That would be bad. That'd be bad if you listened to that message a year later.
But no, I think that is fine behavior. That's fine behavior. My thing recently is, in my life, historically, I'm really good at getting back to people. Email, phone call, text message. Like, if you hit me, I will hit you back.
Quickly, yeah.
Life has gotten, like, I'll hit you in the next day or so if I don't get to you. Or same day. Life has gotten to the point for me right now where I can't do that anymore, and I feel really bad. Like, if you hit me, I may or may not get back to you, but it's not intentional. Like, some people is like, I just don't want to hit people back. Mine is like, I have so much going on, sometimes I forget, and unless you double up, I might not. Now, sometimes I'll remember, like, oh, I got to hit her back. I got to hit Jason back. Like, sometimes, like, Jason will text me just because he's on, like, a dad schedule. He'll text me at, like, 8:15.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
Now you're awake when you get those texts.
Yes. Like, I'm up, but I'll be at the gym at 8:15 and might not get back to him until, like, 3. It's not that I didn't see it. Like, a lot of times I see it right when he sends it, but I'm doing something or, like, I'm on air or whatever, and then I can get back to him. But I hate the feeling that I become that guy to somebody, like, oh, Russ not going to hit me back now.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. It don't matter. You know what I'm saying? People don't even be wanting nothing for real. Like, I don't have no type of angst or nothing about that. Like, oh, I called you last week. Did you? What did you want? I don't even remember. Okay, then. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, people don't even be wanting nothing. But sometimes I do feel bad because I will let some things, something important or something I really did want to tend to kind of slip through the cracks. That generally happens when I see it as it comes through, though. Like, if it comes through, I see it, I open it, but I can't respond to it right now. I'm like doing an interview or I'm whatever, right?
Right.
I'm driving or something like that. And I can't respond to it then, but I've removed the notification. Cool. I don't.
That's why I have unread texts, Russ, because I haven't gotten to them yet. I don't want to forget.
Man. But see, and then the other part is, y'all understand this too. Like, sometimes the conversations that I'm having on a daily basis are, like, really important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so if somebody texts me, and then also, like, a GM also texts me that same day, there's, like, priority now.
A little different.
You know what I mean? Like, that's happened within the last week or so, where it's like, I need to get to this before I get to the rest of these. Right. And it's not that I don't love y'all, but it's just like, there's just the levels to it. Where one of the things is my old college at Oral Roberts, like, the dean of media and communications hit me and was like, yo, we're redoing our sports media minor and we want to turn it into a major. Like, do you have some time to hit me? That's really important and I really want to help. I just haven't had time to, because he was just like, yo, you got 10 minutes. And I'm like, I want to be like, nah, not really, but I want to help. Mm-hmm. So that's,
they
got
to name a library after you to get you to text him back.
Listen,
this is the Russell R. Dorsey reading room.
Maybe
at Oral Roberts.
Hey, that's so funny, because when you started explaining that, I thought you were saying the opposite. I thought you were saying, here's an important thing I need to prioritize. You're like, yeah, I threw that away.
And that one, I know, it's important in the grand scheme. Like, I really do want to help them, like, hear them out. What do they want to do? Even though I don't really rock with the school like that anymore. Like, I do want to rock with the sports media people.
FTK.
That, like, everybody there helped.
FTK.
But it was just like, I don't have 10 minutes this week. And it was really just like, I just don't have a 10-minute window where something this important can fit into. So
it's a young brother from Morehouse hit me. I can't remember if he, like, DM'd my Twitter or might even be like my Instagram or something, which is rare, because if it don't pop up in my main feed, if it's like that back thing, I almost never even get to it. But anyway, he hit me and he was like, yo, I'm student at Morehouse in sports journalism, and I got an assignment and I want to know if I could, you know, interview and talk to you for, he's like, take about 30 minutes or something like that. I was like, yeah, that's cool. Like, you know what I mean? Right, young black right. dude in college. Like, I'm like, man, that's cool. Thanks for reaching out. Well, let's set it up. Never thought about it again. You know what I mean? Like, not that I didn't get back. Like, he would respond like, okay, when can we do this? I was like, okay. So he gave me some options and days. And I was like, all right, cool. Let's do that one. And then stuff just kept happening to me. Like, right. like my car got stolen.
Oh no.
It was weird. I wasn't in it.
Hold on, your car got stolen recently.
We
got
to circle back to that.
Okay, we can go back to it, but it wasn't important. My car got stolen. My birthday came up, and it was just stuff going on, and so I'm like, oh man, bro. So I like
in events. Car stolen. Oh, then my birthday weekend came, so I had to get lit.
How am I gonna do? How am I gonna do this interview when I'm drunk for 3 days? How am I gonna do that? So
you got a lot going on. You're right.
You know. Anyway, I ended up kicking it down the road longer than I wanted to, but I did do it. I did do it. So shout out to him. That was dope.
All right, not his car.
I don't know.
How do you brush that off as not a big deal?
My car got stolen.
You threw that in like a very minor episode.
Life be life, man. I don't like it's enough. It's no. enough stress. It's enough. No, there are enough stressors that I have to deal with for things that I can control. I minimize my stress on things that like it happened already. Like I'm not finna be like. As soon as I went outside, I was like, that's OCSA. Right? I was like, damn, that's crazy. Because I usually park my car in the back. And for whatever reason, I didn't. And I think, I don't know. I think I must have let my partner park back there or something. I don't remember. But so I left my car in the front. And
you have a nice car, too.
Yeah, I like it. I liked it. Like it. it was gone.
Has not been returned to you? This is gone, gone?
So
they didn't like
it, eventually it? The police did find it. It's got like busted window.
I don't like the way this is going.
Busted window. It's got the monitor inside the car on the dash that's completely cracked. They messed up. Why? There's a crack in the winch. There's dents that weren't there. There's some front end damage. Like, I don't know what them people did, but like, I'll let State Farm run its course and hopefully they total it out and I'll do something else. I don't like, don't give it back to me because one, it was getting up there in mileage. And so let's just go ahead and scrap this one on out. But two, a lot of times these young dudes be like stealing cars and they go do wild stuff in it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Don't go do wild stuff in my car and then bring it back to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like you didn't stole my car and you didn't slid on the ops and you didn't shot at them dudes over there. And then I'm just getting my car back. Like, there go that car. No, it wasn't me. Like, no, it wasn't me. So, I don't stress about stuff I can't really control. So it happened. It's cool. It's going through its process right now.
So how long has it been since it originally got stolen?
I want to say it got stolen probably on like it's probably been a couple of weeks. I think I want to say like the 9th or 10th or something like that. Like just before my birthday on the 11th of April. So probably like the 9th or 10th or something like that.
And then
it was like a week or so before like the police like called, like we found it and towed it to the tow yard out there on Doty Road on 103rd. And then a couple of days after that, but then now we're in the middle of my birthday, right? Heck with this.
Priorities.
Priorities.
You can't be bothered with your stolen car.
I cannot be bothered with this. So
that makes me sad. I got to do something that's going to make me happy.
All right. I'll go see it, you know, whenever. It's like, just, you know, go see it, you know, release it to the insurance, sign the forms. It's like, I'll get around to it. A few days later, I go and.
That's so bizarre to me that they call you and, sir, don't worry anymore. We've found your car. Come on, it's down here, and you're like, I'm busy.
It's all right.
I'll get to thanks. I'll get to that later.
We'll circle back to it. So I get over there, long process at the tow yard as they tend to make things. But then they pull my car up, on a forklift, no less. Like, it's just like on an actual forklift, right? That's how they pull all the cars from the back. But anyway, they drop it down, look at it. I'm like, yeah, this is messed up. This wasn't there. That wasn't there. And I get on the inside, and it's even more messed up on the inside. Like, why would y'all mess up the inside? Like, I don't even get that part of it. You know what I mean? But anyway, so I just, you know, filled out the form. They called me the next day. The insurance came to pick it up from there. And they were like, hey, what shop do you want to take it to? And so they set that up. And now they're trying to determine if it's worth salvaging or not. And I hope not.
So do they provide you with a vehicle in the interim?
Yeah, I've been driving some car truck crossover thingy majiggy bob, a Jeep Compass. Nice. It's cool. I've been enjoying driving it, but it's like a tweener though. You know, it's not,
yeah,
it's not a truck. It's not a car.
It's not an SUV. It's not a car.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. But it's cool. Gotcha.
Didn't you once steal a friend's car as a prank?
Yes.
Am I remembering this wrong?
Yeah. No, you're 100% correct.
I remember once I had this thought of I was going to hide Herb Howard's popcorn. We were at a game or something. And I thought better of it because he had told me this story of stealing a friend's car as a prank. And I think he kind of told it to me because it was funny, but also as kind of a heads up that if you want to mess around and find out, like I get pretty serious with pranks.
I love this prank.
Maybe this is your friend like playing the long game.
He played it out
way too far. But yeah, no, I love a good prank. So if you can prank me good, I'm cool. I'll laugh. It'll be fun. But he tried to prank me. He like tried to like put water in my seat in the studio. And I was like, as soon as I pulled the chair out, I saw it was like a puddle. Like he pulled like a whole bottle. Like I was like, yeah, you bugging, sir. So later that night, before we left the studio, before he came out at least, I just, you know, grabbed his keys, went downstairs and just took his car around the corner. And he's like, where's my car? I'm like, where is your car, bro?
Like, oh, damn, bro. Somebody got you.
So, you know, just before he started, he started to call the police, I, you know, told him where his car was. But, yeah.
You a wild boy, Herb.
I have some good Dear Herbies.
Yes.
Okay.
Which we've played before. I just can't believe some of these are real. Do you want to play Dear Herbie today or no?
Yeah, we could do Dear Herbie and then roll it right into the news.
These are actual things that were written in for Dear Abby. And some of them I just can't believe. Somebody's got to be making these up. But Herb is a great person to go to for advice, specifically relationship advice. So let's get his thoughts on this. This is a recurring game that we play on here, Dear Herbie. Dear Herbie. I just changed Abby to Herbie. You follow that?
Got it.
Yeah.
I see what you did there.
I have a 25-year-old niece named Meadow who embraces the hippie lifestyle. I feel like that sentence is redundant. She's kind and sweet and loves everyone. She also is heavily tattooed and has several facial piercings and thick underarm hair. Ooh. My son, so this is the guy talking about his niece. My son is the complete opposite. He's in the business world, is very professional. He's getting married in 3 months to a lovely girl. Meadow is invited to the wedding, but my son is nervous about her coming. He is worried she will wear an outfit that will display the tattoos and her bushy underarm hair. He's afraid she will become a spectacle and her appearance will become the focus of the wedding. He's also worried someone will ridicule or comment about Meadow, and he will then have to defend her, causing a disruption. None of us are comfortable. None of us are close to Meadow or feel comfortable with her appearance. How do we handle her presence at the wedding?
Okay, let's start here. Let's go back. Let's work this thing in reverse. One of the last things he said was, "None of us are close to Meadow."
Correct. Yes. This is classic.
I invite
us. Russ Dorsey, you did this to yourself. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like why are you why invite her? Why is she coming? She doesn't have to come just because
she might not have even heard about it if you just done it.
It sounds like an invite out of obligation. And it's your wedding.
It's your wedding. You ain't obligated to invite nobody. You don't want to invite your mama. You ain't gotta invite your mama. Like
cat's out of the bag on that though. You've done it.
Yeah, okay. You've cool.
So that's you can't you can't go back on that.
If you're gonna move past the fact that you're not even close to this lady, then you also got to move past being ashamed of her, because that's what you're really talking about. Right. You're ashamed of her appearance. You're ashamed of how she moves. You're ashamed of her Afro underarm. Like, you're ashamed of all these things. Like, don't be ashamed. That's your cousin. So if you go, if you love her enough to invite her, even though you're not really cool with her, then love her enough to be like, hey, that's my cousin. Don't, you know what I'm saying? Don't be ashamed of her. So I just think, like, one, you shouldn't have invited her, but you did. So don't be ashamed of the fact that she's there. But also, like, people be having this idea, like, oh, they're going to steal the shine of the wedding. That's going to be what they're talking about. Listen, every wedding, somebody is being talked about, whether you know it or not. Somebody's like, hey, y'all, yes. What's the man cutting up there? She bugging like that. Yeah, like, it don't matter what happened. It don't even matter where you are. So, yeah, these things happen all the time. Like, so, yeah, number one, shouldn't have invited her. Number two, don't be ashamed of your cousin. Number three, somebody's always going to be that person at the wedding that's getting, you know, roasted on the low. It'll be fine.
Your advice is basically get up. Russ, you're having trouble every time we bring up the bushy armpit hair.
Put a razor in the gift bags, though.
Jesus.
You're struggling with that. It's okay. It's okay.
Here's my thing. Because, like, I understand this being scared. Like, yo, shorty comes in with the backless dress. And, like, song comes on. She want to put her hands in the air. And not only do you get bushy armpit hair, if she's a hippie, there might not be deodorant used. I imagine if she's a hippie like that, where she got the bush, she there's no. You saw where I slipped and I had to
continue. Right.
But also, yes. Yeah, I'd be concerned about that. I understand that. But I think I blame them. Like, if nobody F with her, that you shouldn't have invited her. But I think they felt like, oh, we invited everybody else, so we got to invite her too, because she'd be mad if we didn't. But yeah.
Here's the thing. Meadow would not be mad. Meadow doesn't want to be here either. Meadow don't fuck with y'all. Yeah. Like, y'all, like, we don't like Meadow. Meadow don't like y'all. Meadow wants to go out in the field, hang out with like-minded individuals. She mm-hmm. don't like y'all. Like, mm-hmm. and she's probably not gonna conform and wear some dainty dress to your wedding. Meadow is coming in there in Doc Martens and
with a big, thick, chunky heel.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Tied up to the top, like tight. Like, Meadow, wait. Don't worry about Meadow. Let Meadow do her thing, man.
Okay. Dear Herbie, any suggestions on how to motivate a husband? We've been happily married for 35 years. This is not me. I have not been married that long. We've been happily married for 35 years. Now he does nothing but read, work, eat, and sleep. He now reads 16 to 18 hours a day on the weekends, plus 10 hours each day during the week. This is definitely not from my life, because I can't read for more than like a page and a half before I start getting sleepy. He does nothing else. No exercise, no house maintenance, nothing. When I ask if he's depressed, he said no, he's just tired and wants to relax. I cannot get him to socialize. He no longer keeps up with his friends. All he looks forward to is retiring in about a year, but I don't want him to retire just to read more. This is making for a lonely marriage. I am unable to motivate him to do anything.
Yeah, buddy, checked out. He's done. He's done with you. He's done with reading. Career. He's done with life for real. He's not on this with y'all. He wants to be in complete isolation, secluded somewhere. Let that man do his thing, man. Y'all just, you know, he doesn't want to tell you that he's divorcing you. So he's just divorcing you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like people like, oh, he didn't serve me any papers. It doesn't matter. He divorced you. He has, look at him. That's not your partner no more. He's no longer with you. It's him and those books. That's it. Y'all have already gotten divorced, man. Move on with your life. Go outside and be with people who like to go outside. Do your thing. Yeah, y'all can still love each other and be friends, whatever. Y'all are no longer married. He already divorced you, and that's his choice. If he only wants to sit around and read, that's his choice.
He left you for books.
He left you for books. He left you for solitude. He's talked to you for 35 years. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Like, I've heard that story 37 times. I'm good on that story. I don't want to hear it. No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want romance. We've done that 20,000 times. No, no, no. Leave me alone. That man has divorced you. Accept it and move on.
Damn, Herb.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay, this is my question. Oh, well, I know what Herb's answer is. Jason, do you believe that marriages sometimes just run its course?
No. That's a loaded question, but no.
Because, okay, which I figured that would be your answer. Because, like, to Herb,
I'd have to give you a much longer answer to be thorough in my answer. But if you want a short answer, no, I don't.
Okay, because Herb's in this situation feels like this marriage has just run its course. And it's just like, if you've known him for that long, can't y'all have a conversation about it? Like, if you've tried and he's just like, nah, fuck that. All right, that's one thing. But it doesn't even sound like she's presenting him with her issues, which usually that leads to people separating and getting divorced. It's just like, just you haven't really communicated how you felt about this.
No, she did. He said, no, I'm just tired. I just want to read.
He didn't say that, bro.
He just found the Harry Potter books, and he's like, these are that good.
Jason, didn't it say in the Dear Herbie letter, didn't it say that she asked, and he's like, no, I'm just tired and want to read?
Yes. Yep.
Ah, she.
He's done. Leave that man alone.
Well, she's been married 35 years. You make it sound like it's all on him, Herb. You know how it be out here. Her eye is, hey, man, these young boys out here paying attention.
I'm not putting it on nobody. Like you just have a choice, right? And it's okay. Some things are just for a season. Even if that season is very, very long, it could still come to an end. Like winter stops in Chicago at some point.
My hope sees a bright future for them both, Russ, where she goes and finds a younger, more active man, and he finds the Lord of the Rings series.
Yeah, or he finds some woman who loves to sit in dim rooms and just read all day. Where they rarely talk, they look at each other like, fool, yeah, we should probably do, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Like, and they get back to reading. Like, it's okay. It's not a problem. That thing that y'all had that you enjoyed for 35 years that no longer exists, man. It's over.
I just have a hard time believing that you stay together that long and then this issue just all of a sudden pops up.
Oh, no, this has been cracking for like at least 10 years.
I'm saying. Like, this, it's gotten to the end, but there were signs, like you said, for a while here. Like, this has happened just like 18 hours, bro.
He doesn't ever want to talk to you. Like, this cracked for
18 hours. That's all you do. There's no,
yeah, you woke up
6 hours left to sleep.
Bro ain't even brush his teeth. Bro ain't hit the shower.
There's not time.
There's no time.
If I gotta get 18 hours of reading in on a Saturday before I fall back to sleep again, there's no time to. I can't eat. I can't brush my teeth. I got reading to do.
Can't do it.
Last one, Herb. This is going to be right in your wheelhouse, I think. Dear Herbie, my husband and I live in a lovely neighborhood and have enjoyed wonderful neighbors over many years. The homes are close together with windows often left open in the spring, summer, and fall. A couple of years ago, a new neighbor, a single woman, moved in. Russ, that didn't get your attention? Yeah, there we go. There's the eyebrows. She was quiet, and we would occasionally visit in the yard. Well, over the last few months, a quote-unquote problem has developed. This neighbor has a new male friend, and since the new friend's arrival, loud moaning sounds frequently emanate from her home.
Mm-hmm.
It quickly went from funny to shocking to annoying. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how loud I'm reading. This is not me coming up with it. I'm reading this. It's unbelievable how loud and prolonged the moaning sounds are. The slapping and spanking sounds.
Let's go.
Not to mention the frequent back-to-back sessions. Russ, I've never seen you listen as well as you are right now.
It's not lit over there.
It is lit over there.
Too lit for the rest of the neighbors, it turns out. Other neighbors have commented. One neighbor thought someone was in distress and almost called the police until another neighbor told her what it was. It has awakened us and kept us up at night. Also of concern is that there are small children among our nearest neighbors. Herbie, is there anything you can suggest I do so our neighbor keeps her private business private without embarrassing or offending her? Signed, Kept Awake in Ohio.
If you can't beat them, join them. You know what I'm saying? Every time they wake y'all up with they activities, you get active. y'all can have a moan off. Y'all can have a moan off. Like, like just, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would you I'm mad at her husband. I'm mad at her husband. Why would you let this young dude show you up over here?
Right.
This man over here showing you up. And she said they doing bike to bikes. You can't do bike to back.
Like, boy, if you don't go get a honey pack and get it cracking over there.
Like, she's not mad at them. She's mad at you, my boy. Like, she like, yeah. Don't you hear him over there making things?
Hey, my man over there going crazy, and you over here writing letters.
Right. Right. You over there reading for 18 hours. Get your ass up. That's the same person.
Same couple.
Nah,
it sounds like your advice in this scenario is up your game.
You got to step your game up. You have to, or close your windows. You know what I'm saying? You got to step your game up. Because I really think it's just a, haters going to hate. I really think it's a jealousy issue.
This is a different house.
Yes.
Like, these aren't apartments. This is house.
These are houses.
Yo, you know how loud?
They got the windows open, though.
Yeah, you just close the windows. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, it could be 10 feet. Sound will travel 10 feet, you know what I'm saying, from one window to the next.
Like, how thin are these walls? Like, these are the thinnest walls.
No, the windows are
open. Yeah, but even if you close them, like, what would the issue be?
I think you need their house to close the windows. I think you need that.
Oh, they got the windows open. And then I don't know.
I think you go over there and you're like, I'm happy for you. I'm gonna let you finish.
I'm gonna let you finish.
Just close these windows. Just close your windows.
I think you have a conversation like, hey guys, listen, happy for y'all. Go crazy. But would you mind closing your windows? Cause we trying to sleep over here and you trying to freak over here.
What if you just go over there and close the window? Like, just walk up to the window. My bad. Don't mind me. Just close these on up.
It seems like they might not even mind.
Having a freak off.
They over there. My
next door neighbors asked me about, we used to have this floodlight over our deck, and that was the only lighting up there when we first moved in. And
I didn't know where this was going. I'm like, what are you and Ash on? Like what? No. What's going on?
No, but they asked me very politely, hey, would you mind if you use your floodlight, do your thing, whatever. If you are out there and you need light, it's your house. But if you are not out there, if you could just remember to turn it off because it shines in our windows. And I thought, this is a reasonable request.
It's reasonable?
Yeah.
Very reasonable. No problem.
That's what we're dealing with in my neighborhood. Not so much this.
Y'all know I love telling a good story, and I have one, but my mom listens, so I can't tell it. I know.
Let it fly.
I love it, man. I'm here for it.
All right, elevator your music tone. All right, tone. You can end the elevator music here.
Russ, let's do the news.
All right.
Caitlin Clark, the women's basketball star from Iowa and now with the Indiana Fever.
Yes.
The team. Yeah. Got an 8-year, $28 million endorsement deal with Nike. This from the Wall Street Journal, who reported that she turned down some much, much lower deals. In taking this, there's been some criticism of this deal saying 8 years, $28 million, that she should be worth more than that. I think, I'm not positive. Some of these numbers are hard to find, but based on the research that I did do, I think this is an unprecedentedly large contract for a women's basketball player. I don't think anyone has topped this, but she turned down from Adidas $6 million over 4 years and from Under Armour $16 million over 4 years. And the only other company that was reportedly in the game was Puma, mm-hmm. which backed out immediately when they heard that the pricing started at the offers needed to start at $3 million a year, which is what she got. I mean, she got a little over that with the Nike deal.
Good for Caitlin, man. She's box office. Like, I think what she represents is much bigger than people realize in terms of growth for women's basketball. And she is must-see TV. And so good for her, man. She's like, everybody's talking about, oh, she's not even going to make that much money. Stop it. Like, she is going to do just fine. State Farm and Nike are going to take good care of her.
She's not from the WNBA, though. And I was shocked by that. I know that the salaries are much lower there, but I didn't realize they were this lower, much lower. Her rookie contract as the number one overall pick is $338,000 over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
right,
$80,000 a year or whatever that comes out to. But that's what she's going to make.
I get it. But like, you also have to think of like, it's not parallel with the NBA in terms of.
Oh, I know.
TV rights.
It shouldn't be. It doesn't create the revenue that it does.
Also, how do you get those numbers up? You need her. Like what Michael did for the NBA.
Exactly.
Like, she could do for the W, in that she brings so many eyes that TV networks are going to be like, no, we want to air the W. These are the TV rights. This is the money that you get. And that's how you boost those numbers up, where in 10 years, maybe that number is now 30 million over 4 years. Like, I'm just throwing a number out there, but like, that's how you do that. Like, advertisers come into play. So yeah, shout out to Caitlin.
This is a good step. A big step. This
Angel Reese.
Many people down the line after her.
Yeah, she's super cold. She's worth it. Now, it sounded like she gave Nike a little bit of a discount. If Under Armour came in at 4 for $16, that's a full four right there. And it allows you to get back to the table sooner than 8 years. I think her star is only going to continue to brighten. I think she is every bit the superstar, not only just the player, but the superstar that people think that she is. And so, you know, what she could command today in 2024, by 2028, she could command even more than that. So I don't know that I would have signed an 8-year deal if I'm Caitlin Clark, but I figured she would sign with Nike, and you tend to give Nike a discount because they're Nike. And now every little girl,
you're going to benefit from it.
Yeah. Every little girl around the country that is somewhat of an athlete or whatever, they're going to be wearing the Caitlin Clarks. They're already working on her shoe right now. So, you know, I think that the NCAA, the powers that be, the television networks, I think they've done a great job of building up this thing. I think they did. With Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, they made their own Magic and Bird situation. You got this white girl in the middle of Iowa. You got this black girl down in Louisiana. She's like, they both kind of rah-rah, but it's you know, it's just the presentation is different. And so I think that, you know, they kind of use that the way the NBA used Magic and Bird. We're going to put this dude in Boston. We're going to put this dude in Showtime LA, and that's going to be the thing. You know what I mean? And then, you know, a few years later, we'll drop this dude in the middle in Chicago, and it'll be everything it needs to be. So right. I think they're using it the right way. And I think having Caitlin and Angel Reese in Chicago and Indiana respectively will allow that thing to continue to be what they already know it is.
Russ, there was an epic viral video of a woman ranting at LAX. I'm not sure if you saw this, but she went, this was Wednesday. Okay. She went just absolutely nuts on airline employees after apparently, it's hard to piece all the details together from this, but apparently Delta rebooked her on a flight for the next day after she missed her flight. Whether she missed her flight because she was late or a connection or who knows what, she's been rebooked for the next day. Not happy about it, just ranting at the ticket counter, going up and down, screaming profanities, raging at them to, quote, get me the bleep on the next flight, end quote, and screaming at them several times to call United States Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg to get him involved in this. And he catches a stray in this where she calls him, quote, a useless MF-er. At some point, man. While she's telling him to call,
catching strays.
I don't know why. No, I don't think part of his job is to get involved in airline rebookings when you miss a flight. But she appeared to be a little intoxicated. I don't know if she was or not, but it
had the look, at the airport.
Had the vibe. Yeah, she's just going up and down the ticket counters. There's no one else there, but all these different ticketing agents. She's just like pacing this area, yelling at them until she finally pauses. Takes a breath, and one of the ticketing agents steps up and says, ma'am, this is WestJet. And the woman does what the only thing you could do at that point was she just like bursts out laughing at herself and walks away.
Ooh. Yikes.
She's telling him, call the White House over this, and it's another airline. She's at the wrong Yikes. Place. Raises some questions about how the flight got missed. All right, and finally, Russ and Herb. So there's this guy named Will Georgitis in Goose Creek, South Carolina. This is a story from the Associated Press. And one of his things that he does, this guy, Will Georgitis, in Goose Creek, South Carolina, is he scubas down to the bottom of the Cooper River to look for fossilized alligator teeth, which I assume he's either collecting them or selling them. I looked around online to see what does a fossilized alligator tooth go for, and maybe my information is incorrect. It could be. But a couple of sites I looked around, it looks like these things go for between $12 and $30, so not particularly valuable, not particularly worth to me swimming in alligator-infested waters with a scuba tank and prying teeth off the riverbed with a screwdriver. Maybe there's just not that much else to do in Goose Creek, South Carolina. I've never been there. I don't know. Maybe this is, you know, their version of playing golf. But either way, Will Georgitis was diving last week, and when he came up, as his tank is running out of air, he comes up to the surface, and he sees an alligator making a beeline for him. And they swim fast.
Yes.
And he puts his arm up to block it, and the alligator chomps down on his arm. He starts fighting the alligator, just hitting it with the screwdriver. He's still got a scuba tank, so he's going to be okay, but he's low. So he's going to be okay for a little bit if they go underwater, which of course they do. The alligator takes him 50 feet down to the bottom and pins him against the floor, the riverbed. And he thinks the alligator did. All his stabbing at the alligator with the screwdriver and kicking at him is not working. And he finally gets down there and he says, quote, when the alligator took him 50 feet down to the riverbed, and this is going to be a spoiler alert because if he said this, obviously he survived it. He said, quote, I knew I was going to die right then. I knew that was it. So what he does in this moment of panic, as he's pinned to the bottom of the river, to the Cooper River floor, and his oxygen tank is running low, is he puts his feet up on the alligator. The alligator's got him by the arm this entire time. He puts his feet up on the alligator's face, and he is prepared to just push off as hard as he can and lose the arm over this, but at least be able to get up to the surface. The move works. He somehow does this and keeps his arm. His arm gets shredded. You don't want to see the photos of this. Or maybe you do. You like seeing all this medical stuff and you were watching them do this tightrope surgery and everything. But his arm is carved up, but he kept it. It's still there, though. And he escapes. The alligator is spooked by this, I guess. And he escapes and gets to the surface and lives. And he's got a long road ahead of a lot of surgeries and everything. But he is going to recover and has his arms.
Shout out to my man.
He said he needed, quote, a ton of staples on his arm, but he's okay. He also says, Will Georgitis says when he heals up, which could be months when he fully recovers, he is going to get right back to doing this.
So he is so enthralled with these gators that he scrapes the riverbed for fossilized teeth. Does Correct. He know that there's a quarter-size kill spot on the top of the alligator's head, which is the only place that a mortal could kill them? My point is,
not. I didn't know it until you said it just now. How do you know?
Screwdriver, because I watch tons of my Swamp boy. People.
Yeah.
Swamp People is my show. I record it on my DVR. Right. I never miss an episode.
And they taught you this important lesson.
Yes, because that's the only place they can kill them. They shoot the alligators on Swamp People, but even in shooting them, they can only shoot them at the quarter-size kill spot. Their skulls are literally too thick to kill them with a bullet. So if you shoot them in the head, it just ricochets off. It hurts and it pisses them off, but it doesn't kill them or it doesn't damage them severely. There's only the quarter-size kill spot. So I'm saying but the quarter-size kill spot is like soft. If George sticks the screwdriver into there, he could have ended the alligator before he took him down to the floor. But I'm glad he made it out. That's kind of wild.
I think the theme of this show has been don't play in God's face.
Don't play in God's face. You're going to lose the arm, Tiger King.
I think the one experience you should be like, you know what? This has been a good hobby. I'm going to go golf now.
See, that's what I would say. I would say I think I've gotten away with this.
Yeah,
I'm going to get out clean. Death. I think I'll go back to school, maybe become a CPA, But I think I'm done with diving with Alex. I think this is all right. All right. I got out. I'm alive. I think call it a career on the fossil diving. The
good Lord is telling you, hey, dog, I'm going to give you this layup for a career change.
Come on,
like,
now.
Become a motivational speaker or something. Now. Like, and he said, you know what? I'm going to go back. And it's just like, all right, dog, next time you're not
gonna, coming up.
You're the not move up is not going to work. And then you're just glug, 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 glug.
We're not going to hear
an all time great the next sound door. Effect.
You're going to be like Shorty on Tiger King.
That's the news.
Man, what a wild episode of Sports Adjacent this has been. But an extremely fun episode. We want to thank Cousin Herb Howard for stopping by, hanging out with us. Herb, we always appreciate you coming on the pod.
Always an absolute pleasure. I love y'all, brothers, man. Thanks for having me.
We like to thank our sponsor, Sheets and Giggles, for sponsoring our podcast as always. You can go to sheetsgiggles.com/SA. They are still in the Earth Month sale. You can get a big discount on your next set of sheets. You can also use our promo code SPORTS, that is SPORTS. And if you just use the link, you get the percentage off. And for the Earth Month sale, it gets added on. So make sure you do that. We are also brought to you by BetMGM. You can get up to $1,500 back in free betting credit when you use our promo code ADJACENT1000. That is ADJACENT1000. BetMGM, the king of sports books. Last thing before we let you go. As you're going throughout your week, going throughout your day, the rest of this year, I just want you to remember the wise words of one Herb Howard. Don't play in God's face. We will catch you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.